Want to know a secret? I struggle with imposter syndrome. What is imposter syndrome? It's feelings of self-doubt and personal incompetence that persist despite a person's education, experience, and accomplishments. Have you ever struggled with something similar? Have you ever doubted that you had what it takes to do the things that God has called you to do? Those of us who struggle with imposter syndrome are not only aware of our limitations and inadequacies, but we are controlled by them. This type of fear can be debilitating at times. How do we overcome this in order to become the person God created us to be? Let's take a look at this idea together in this week's 5-Minute Torah. Shalom and blessings from Shalom Macon, the place where disciples of Yeshua learn, connect, and grow. I'm Darren, and before I get into the 5 minutes of my 5-Minute Torah commentary, let's cover a few quick facts about this week's Torah portion. This week we're studying the portion of Shemot, Exodus 1:1 through 6:1, and here are the three things that you need to know about it. Number one, the oppression of Israel, the rise of the Redeemer. When Joseph died, things went south quickly for the Israelites. A campaign of oppression eventually landed the descendants of Jacob into a life of slavery. But no matter how hard they were oppressed, they multiplied. To us, that sounds like a blessing. But to Egypt, the Israelites were like a cancerous growth that needed excision. So Pharaoh commanded all the male Israelite babies to be thrown into the Nile. God spared the life of Moses when he was put into the Nile by his mother and adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. When Moses grows up, he sees the horrible treatment of his brothers and sisters and tries to do something about it, only to have it backfire. He then flees to Midian and eventually marries Zipporah, the daughter of Yitro, the priest of Midian. Meanwhile, the cry of the Israelites rose to heaven. Number two, the burning bush and the call of Moses. One day, as Moses is tending his father-in-law's sheep, he saw something unusual and turned aside to investigate. He saw that a bush was on fire, but not being consumed. God called out to him from the bush and told him that he had heard the cry of the Israelites and was sending Moses to deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh. Moses doesn't believe it possible at first, but God shows him his miraculous signs to validate what he told him. God tells Moses that Pharaoh will refuse, but that he will eventually give in. He also tells him that he will have his brother Aaron be his mouthpiece to Pharaoh when he confronts him. This is also confirmed when God speaks to Aaron, and Aaron comes out to meet Moses on the mountain where he saw the burning bush. And number three, Moses and Pharaoh, the showdown begins. Moses and Aaron went to meet Pharaoh and demand that he let the Israelites go so that they could worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The result was that Pharaoh increased the workload of the Israelites, making them forage for their own straw to make bricks with while maintaining their daily production quota. When the Israelites blame Moses for their additional burden, he cries out to the Lord saying, "Why did you ever send me?" Our portion ends with the Lord's response saying, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." Exodus 6:1. If you're looking for a place to learn, connect, and grow, then Shalom Macon is the place. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can find a connection with Shalom Macon through our live services every Saturday and through our private social network we call Shalom at Home. Check us out on YouTube and on our website at shalommacon.org for more information. We look forward to connecting with you and seeing you this Shabbat. This week's Torah commentary is called Who Am I? It comes from a book, 5-Minute Torah, Volume 3. This week's Torah portion not only begins the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus, but also the calling of Moses to his all-important task of delivering the children of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. We would think that since Moses was raised in Pharaoh's royal house, he would realize that he was the most qualified person to confront the king of Egypt and to lead a group of slaves to their freedom. But when God confronted him at the burning bush, Moses replied with a lack of confidence, saying, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" This is Exodus 3:1. In other words, what qualifies me to lead these people out from under Pharaoh's hand? Moses didn't feel that he had the ability to accomplish what God called him to do. Similar instances occur among the prophets of Israel when they do not feel confident that they have the courage or skill to do what the Lord has instructed them. For instance, when the Lord tells Samuel that he has rejected Saul as king because of his wickedness and that he should go to the house of Jesse and anoint a new king, Samuel responds by saying, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." This is 1 Samuel 16:2. Samuel knew that Saul would try to kill him because of jealousy. Despite his fear, Samuel obeys God's plan. After defeating and slaughtering the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, Elijah fled to the wilderness when Queen Jezebel threatened to kill him as he had killed the false prophets. Even though God had just used him to do something bold and amazing, Elijah became afraid and gave in to that fear. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." 1 Kings 19:4. Elijah was so distraught that he wanted to die, but God delivered him and continued to use him mightily until he was taken up into the heavens in the chariot of fire. When preparing to build the holy temple, King David doubted the magnitude of God's calling on him when the Lord told him, "I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones on the earth. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 9 and 11. David couldn't believe his ears. Here he was trying to bless God by creating a holy house for his presence to dwell, and God responds by saying that he will make a house, in other words, a dynasty, for David. David responded, "Who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" In verse 18, Moses was in a similar situation. According to Or HaChaim, a Moroccan rabbi from the 18th century, the response of Moses here revealed a lack of confidence that he could accomplish the task assigned to him by the Lord. He no longer saw himself as one raised in Pharaoh's palace, but as merely the shepherd he had become, thinking, "Who am I, a lowly shepherd, that I should appear before the king of Egypt and demand that the Israelites be released?" In his mind, even if he did get an audience with Pharaoh, surely he would be killed the moment he opened his mouth. Not only that, but he also knew that he would be held responsible for his failure to bring out the children of Israel. This put a double fear inside him. However, despite the doubt expressed by Moses, the Lord alleviated his fear with one simple response: "Ki ehyeh imach," for I will be with you. Exodus 3, verse 12. These are the words we all need to hear repeatedly and hold tightly in our hearts. I will be with you. The God of the universe is with us, with me, and I can do what he has called me to do. It's easy to lose track of this simple fact, but we have to remember that if our Creator has given us a task, despite how impossible it may seem, he also has placed within us the ability to carry it out. Sometimes, all we can see is limitations and inadequacies when we have an entire list of assets we haven't even tapped into. Sometimes it's difficult to remember that we were assigned our individual task here on planet Earth by a wise and all-knowing Creator who tailored us specifically for that purpose. Sometimes we can become so focused on who we aren't that we fail to remember who we are. Who am I? I'm the salt of the earth, bringing life and flavor to those around me. I am the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. I shine my light so that others may see my good deeds and give glory to my Father in heaven. I am uniquely designed to succeed in what God has created me to accomplish. Now I ask you, who are you? At your birth, God said you matter. What mission has God assigned you in this life? If God has breathed life into you, he has a mission that only can be fulfilled by you and you alone. Don't miss the opportunity to become the person he needs you to be. Others may be depending on you. And if you're still struggling to step up to the plate and fulfill your role, then check out my teaching, The Violin That Wouldn't Sing, for some additional encouragement. Just click on the link right here.